things in song that maybe we don't completely have a hold on, completely a grasp of. This idea of that we're desperate and needy, there are certainly some of us in here this morning that understand that concept very well. But we also live in a country, in a place where all of our seeming needs are provided for. And there are some of us, when we sing that song, we kind of feel like, gosh, I don't have many needs. The struggle there, sometimes we're thinking about physical needs as compared to spiritual needs. And we all have spiritual needs. And all of us, we're desperate for those spiritual needs to be met. There's no question about that. In fact, you yourself cannot meet your own spiritual needs. Each one of us have a need to walk with the Lord, to have a relationship with the Lord, to know Him personally and intimately. Whether you know that or not, we all have those same needs. We all share that together. So when we assemble together on a Sunday morning, we all have those same spiritual needs. We need Jesus. And spiritually, there are times when we are weak. We might be physically strong. We might be provided for the money that we get at work, but we all have spiritual needs, and there are many times when we are spiritually weak. When I think about placing myself into the power of God or into the power of the gospel, there's some real reflection that needs to take place there, because I think there's a lot of times where Christians aren't fully plugged into the power of the gospel. When I moved into my new home out in Southwest Lubbock, there was a certain something that really was awkward to me. I didn't know what was going on, but Angie and I drove up to the house about 2 weeks into having lived in that house, and our garage door opener wouldn't work. I know, first world problems, by the way. First world problems. I was a little irritated. I had to get out of the truck. And so when I get out of the truck, I go to pull up the garage door. But again, a first world problem, that door is connected, right, to the chains. And so I can't actually just pull the garage door up, and I don't understand what's going on. So I put my key code in. Maybe my little transmitter's not working, so I put my key code in, and it didn't work. I don't know about you, but it was difficult for me to think about using a key to the front door, okay? Okay, so apparently I'm the only one. Laugh at my expense, that's fine. So I use my key to the front door. I go in and I push the button and the garage door actually works. Now, I'm not understanding what's going on because I was able to raise it up and then I was able to put it down. But when I actually push the button on my garage door, it doesn't work. And so I was thinking, what in the world is going on? And what had happened was, the GFI outlet on the outside of the house had been splashed with water. It was connected to that my garage door was connected to that GFI outlet, and therefore, there was no power to my garage door. Now, I didn't know all these things. I had to make a call, and they told me, oh, yeah, that's probably connected to this GFI outlet, and I had no idea what was going on. Now, some of you are saying, I have no idea what's going on either. But I want you to know that in some ways, that's how the gospel is to us. We have this mindset that the power of the gospel is some intricate design, and this connects to this, and this connects to this, and really what happens is the power of the gospel is through Jesus Christ, and it is for us individually, and then it goes to us corporately. And so this morning, when we talk about the idea of the power of the gospel, we're going to understand that we need to be plugged into the gospel first as believers and then as those who are growing in Christ. Just real quick, I also want to make sure that we grasp this concept before we go into the scripture. You can turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 as we think through this. It's very important. But last week, we talked about an idea of shame. This is important to our conversation this morning as well, the idea of shame. See, in our American culture, we have this idea that we shouldn't feel shame about anything. There actually is a time to feel shame, and there's actually a time not to feel shame. So this is one of those conundrums that we have to deal with, okay? So the idea that I worked really hard, and I did my very best, and I got fifth place and the science fair, and I feel shame for that, that's wrong shame. We shouldn't feel shame for that. Maybe disappointment, but not shame. You had no control over that. You did your best. You shouldn't feel shame for that. Maybe disappointment, but not shame. So in our world right now, though, we have this idea that we shouldn't feel shame about anything. There actually is a time to feel shame. When we have hurt someone, or when we have been disobedient to the call of Christ on our life, when we've talked about somebody behind their back and they came and they acknowledged that and we feel some shame there, you should. You should, because as believers, we are to speak rightly. As believers, we are to be obedient to the call of Christ on our life. As believers, we want to do what is right. And so wrong shame is something that doesn't necessarily disappoint God or isn't disobedient to God, and maybe it's something that you could just feel disappointed about, but right shame is when you've been disobedient to God, okay? Having said that, we're going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to get through some of these concepts this morning, and then I want to try to apply this to our individual and corporate life. All right, so let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of your word. God, help us to apply your word. We love you. In Christ's name that we pray, amen. So as we apply God's word together, you may have your outline there in front of you. You can fill in that outline. You can take some other notes as well. But I want us to hear this idea of the power of the gospel and not being ashamed about the power of the gospel. Last week, we talked about the idea of not being ashamed of Paul's testimony and not being ashamed of God's people and knowing that we identify with one another as we speak the testimony. As a church, we have kind of walked through this together. And you might have missed a Sunday or two or whatever. I want to make sure that we all know where we're coming from. But last fall, we started in this process of trying to encourage one another to share the gospel of Christ. And first, that started with maybe having a conversation with someone. Maybe you're at a restaurant and you hear a struggle and you ask that person or that waitress or that waiter, can I pray for you? Or maybe you were at work and you said, hey, we are doing some things at church. I'd love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing at church. Or maybe someone was you were listening to them and you said, hey, I just think that if you could find some answers in the Bible, just some very surface type conversations to start. See, we live in a world right now where it's difficult to have those conversations. You want to know why? Well, the Bible has told us why, because sometimes we're ashamed of the testimony, and sometimes we're ashamed of the gospel. And that is not shame that we should have. In fact, as a believer, we should want to identify with one another. As a believer, we should want to identify with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we had this board out here. It's called a conversation board. And it was the idea of us encouraging one another to have conversations with people. And we said this year we want to have conversations with 100 people. Now again, the 100 conversations was not to say we want to get our number. We want to make sure that we get through this business process, because that's not what we're about here at Highland Baptist Church. We're not about the next program. We're not about seeing what program we can do to make sure we can manipulate people to come to church. That's not what we are about here. What we were trying to do, though, is trying to encourage conversations, try to motivate conversations. In other words, maybe even dust off our faith a little bit so that faith might come out of our mouth. We started with those conversations. And then over the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about those conversations going the next step and talking about our testimony. We've seen videos of people sharing their testimony, people within our congregation sharing their testimony. And that's really been a neat thing, because we've been able to see friends of ours share what God has done in their life and share how God has changed them individually and share how God has changed them corporately. That's really been a neat thing to watch, to be a part of. And was that, again, to say, look at how great those people are that are sharing their testimony? Not at all. It was to say, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. If they can share their testimony, I want to be motivated to share my testimony. And through that process, what we were trying to encourage one another was this. Do you have a testimony? If you're a believer, you do. Are you ready to share your testimony? And not just by how you live, but also with your mouth, with your lips, with your voice. Were you ready to share your testimony? Every believer, folks, every believer, every brother and sister in here has a testimony. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has been in the process, the Holy Spirit has been in the process of changing you. And that change is your testimony. And so this morning, just over the next few weeks, we kind of start this idea of taking the next step and sharing with you, sharing together one another. This I hope this is not me telling you this morning, but I hope that this is something that we are living out together, that in taking the next step, we've shared our testimony. Now, how do we share Christ with someone? The very first step in sharing Christ is for us individually and corporately to understand that there's power in the gospel. For us to understand that we should not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Folks, I know this sermon, but that's an incredible statement right there. Incredible statement. It's a statement that relieves us, It releases us in the power of Christ. It's an encouraging word. It's the idea that it's not my power. It's the idea that it's not me doing it on my own. It's the idea that really God is doing it through me. It's the idea that I'm going to be used of the Creator God. I'm going to be used of Jesus Christ. That's incredible. I love the idea, the thought, the concept, the promise that as a believer, God wants to use me. I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor. Because remember, each one of us are equal. I am fortunate to be the pastor, to have this as a vocation. But every single one of us have the exact same call in our life, and that is when God has changed you, you share that with others. Every single one of us, not a single one in here. If you have received Christ, not a single one of us are exempt from sharing Christ. Not one of us. So let's talk about this for a moment. The gospel message, as we see first, is powerful. It's powerful. The scripture tells us that it is incredibly powerful. The idea of power, dunamis, this idea, the idea of the energy that we even find in dynamite, the power of the gospel, it's as powerful as anything we have ever known. It's as powerful as anything we've ever known. We talk about the power of the United States or the power of China and the defense. And let me tell you something. God, as He looks down on earth, He can think through that and say, this is child's play. I have real power. I have real power. Power to change the human being. Power to change a future. Power to change everything in a person's life. That's real power. And the Bible tells us that it is that I'm not ashamed of the power because ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It's the power of God. When you think about that, we don't have to develop that power on our own. And so the first thing I would want us to know, even as we challenge and encourage each other to share Christ, it's not done within our own power. I think sometimes we think this idea that, gosh, that's too much for me. It is too much for you. But it's not too much for God. The Bible tells us that the gospel is a powerful, powerful message. The gospel is powerful, and it's also incredibly simple. I think sometimes this is where the American church kind of makes a turn, right? Because if it's so powerful, how can it be so simple? If it's so incredible and so life-changing, how can it be so simple? All incredible, life-changing things actually are very simple. If they weren't simple, we wouldn't buy in. The power of the gospel is simple. The Bible tells us that for us to receive Christ, we must believe in Him. That we must believe in Him. Did you know that there's nothing you can say, nothing that you can do All you have to do is receive the gift of the gospel, receive the gift of Jesus Christ. What's the concept there? I don't get it. How do you put your trust? How do you put your faith? How do you believe in God for salvation? Very simple. Let me tell you how this works. If you've ever been to a doctor, and the doctor said you need to take this medicine to get well, and you did it, that's faith. Little F maybe, but that's faith. You ever been on an airplane, and somebody else is driving, and you know full well if the airplane goes down, you're probably going to die, but you get on the airplane anyway? That's faith. I mean, we apply that all. If you get in a car in Lubbock, Texas, and you allow your 15-year-old daughter to drive, that's real faith. So faith is not a difficult concept. The power of the gospel is incredibly simple. The power of the gospel is also not just a simple message, but it is a saving message. It's the power of the gospel to save. This power, though, has been convoluted a little bit. I want to make sure we grasp this concept. Jesus Christ and what makes up the good news is fully sufficient for our salvation. Folks, I love my sister churches. I love Christianity. But I want you to know that there are a lot of churches who get this part wrong. They say, yes, you're right. Accept Jesus Christ and make sure that you do this, this, and this. Make sure that you go to church. I'd love to be able to tell you, hey, to be a Christian, you need to come to church all the time and you need to be here, because that'd be great for church, right? It'd be great for attendance. To be a Christian, you got to be in church. You got to, but that's not the truth. To be a Christian, you got to be in church. You got to ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart. You got to come to church, and you got to help older ladies across the street. That's how you're Christian. It doesn't work like that. You got to do this, 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 and this. It'd be great if we could say, you got to accept Christ, you got to be in church, you got to help old ladies across the street, and you have to bring all the money that you have. That would be great, right? Some of you are very uncomfortable now. I get it. But none of those are true. You want to know why? Because that would disintegrate the power of the gospel. Jesus is the power of the gospel, and He is fully sufficient. The gospel message is not only powerful, but it is also inclusive. The Bible tells us in this that it says the power of the gospel is first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. I think we need to make sure that we spend a little bit of time in this little area, because I want to make sure that we grasp what's going on here, okay? First off, there is a thought process now of strong believers who would say the power of the gospel is not for everyone. The power of the gospel is for those who God has chosen. I want you to know a quick little Greek word here, the word everyone, translated from the Greek word pas, transliterated P-A-S. And that particular word is always translated in the scripture as everyone or as anyone. Everyone and anyone has the power of the gospel that they can receive. And here's how the gospel is presented in this particular area. It says first that the gospel is for the Jew. The gospel has been brought about through the line of Jewish heritage. If you read your Bible, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You can never really read the New Testament without the Old Testament, and you shouldn't read the Old Testament without the New Testament. They put themselves together, the gospel writers and God put the Bible together so that we can see the whole picture. Okay? So the Bible first, we see that the gospel message was revealed to the Jews. God's chosen people early on were the Jews. And some of us might say, why did He choose the Jews? I'm going to tell you why, okay? He chose the Jews because somebody had to bring the gospel message. You're like, well, why not other people? I don't know. I would say talk to God when you get to heaven, but you won't care about that when you get to heaven. You won't. But God made a covenant promise, even in Genesis. And it was always threading through. It was always getting ready to graft in the everyone, the pause, the anyone that we see talked about in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now, I want you to know that when the Greeks or the Gentiles hear the words that it was given to the Jews first, that's incredibly offensive. But it is also offensive to the Jews when it says next to the Gentiles. So, if everybody's offended, great. That's how the scripture is. It is an equal opportunity offender. Now, I know we don't like that because we want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to say the Bible is so sweet and kind and gentle. That's not the Bible if you've read it from cover to cover. But I do want you to know this, that threaded throughout all of history and throughout all the Bible, we see the love of God. And that's an incredible story. That's an incredible story. Gentiles are not saved, or Greeks are not saved by their culture. They are not saved by what they do or what they say. They are saved by the power of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Jews are not saved by their culture. They are not saved by even God's having chosen them from the beginning. They are saved by the power of the gospel. And when you hear these words like chosen or elect in 2017, I was about to say 16 because I'm a year behind always, but in 2017, I want you to know that is referring to those who have received Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible shares. Bible here, extremely important. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone slash anyone slash all people who believe. That's the power of the gospel. We see that in the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is true of the gospel is that it saves people. It saves people. Last thing, the gospel message is inclusive. The gospel message is also, as we think through this, the gospel message is also powerful. And finally, the gospel message is revealing. It reveals first, which we don't like, man's condition. Probably most of us came in here this morning thinking that we were pretty good. And maybe by earthly standards, that would be true. We like to feel good about ourselves. And so we think about sometimes how good we are. But the Bible tells us that no one is good, not even one, apart from Jesus. And so what the Bible, this clear presentation of the gospel message, the power of the gospel shows us is that we are in need of a Savior. Paul tells us that the Ten Commandments even were given to us so that we can be shown our need for a Savior. Man is sinful. Man is disobedient. And that sin has wreaked havoc on this world. Let's make it personal. Our sin, my sin, has aided the havoc on this world. And why is that? Because I am selfish. I want my own way. I want to do my own thing. And so the gospel in its revealing from verse 17, it reveals, it communicates man's condition. Dwight L. Moody commented one time that the gospel is like a lion. If you open the cage, it will come out. The gospel needs to come out. The gospel needs to be shared. Once our mouth opens to share the gospel, the Holy Spirit takes over. And we will see incredible things happen. About 10 years ago, I remember a Mercedes-Benz commercial talking about patents. And the patents that they had, the new ways that they were making Mercedes-Benz, which I don't own a Mercedes-Benz, by the way. But at that time, Mercedes-Benz were talking about these patents that would help save lives. And we see a commercial where someone is asking the Mercedes-Benz president, a lot of people are taking your patent and they're using that same information. Why don't you go after them? And he says in the commercial, and again, whether you believe that this is what they thought or not, in the commercial it says, some things are just too important not to share. The gospel message is too important not to share. Sometimes I think our problem, though, is we're too familiar with the gospel, so we're not motivated. We're not compelled. We're not captivated. And that happens because of man's condition. The gospel message is revealing. It not only reveals, communicates man's condition, but it also communicates God's love. I want to communicate the reason that we struggle with sharing the gospel. Okay? So look right at me. This is like on City Slickers, that one thing. Okay? Some of you are too young to know that particular analogy, and some of you are too old to know that particular analogy, but just stay with me. One thing. What keeps us from sharing the gospel? We're not living out the gospel. What keeps us from sharing the gospel? We don't love the gospel. See, if we want people to accept Jesus, we're going to share that. If we want people to grow in Christ, we're going to grow in Christ. If we want people to be committed to the things of God, we're going to be committed to the things of God. If you want people to love God's word, you're going to love God's word. Let me show you, tell you, you know this, that in your own homes, this is where it's truly modeled, right? Because in your own homes, what you as parents love, that's what your children love. What you as your parents model, that's what your children grasp. I want you to know the same is true even in the church. How do you share the gospel? How do you share Jesus Christ? You share what God is already doing in your life. Over the next few weeks, we are going to share some scriptures and how to share those scriptures. But I think it's most important for us to be convinced that people can be changed by the gospel. And I think in the American church, that's very difficult. In American culture, we've seen a number of people, including atheists, say, well, this is the last generation of Christians, and surely Christianity will be gone after this generation. Did you know that in Africa, in the continent of Africa, and in the 1900s, the beginning of that century, that there were 10 million Christians? 10 million, okay? Sounds like a lot. In 2000, there were 360 million Christians. And statistically, if we see that same growth rate by 2035, there will be over 600 million Christians in Africa. You know what that is? It's the power of the gospel. Why doesn't that work here in America? Because we have too many things vying for our attention. We have too many things that are distractors. I want us to be passionate about the power of the gospel. I want us to be passionate about sharing the power of the gospel. I want us to live out that the power of the gospel has changed us. And if we live that out, we'll see it change others. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But God demonstrates His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We put more trust in a pilot who flies an airplane than we put in Creator God. We put more trust in our banker or our insurance man than we put in Creator God. We put more trust in machines than we do in the one who has loved us from the foundations of the world in eternity past. We put more trust in our iPhones and our social media than we do in Jesus Christ. I'm pleading with you. Know the gospel and the power of the gospel. And allow the power of the gospel to change you, and allow that to translate in helping change others. Because God wants to use you. This morning, Father, we pray just as we come to a time of reflection, a time of repentance, a time of opportunity to respond to you. God, I pray that this morning we would not be lost in the power of the gospel. God, I pray that we would live out the power of the gospel. God, I pray that this morning you would make it evident to us about how your power and the gospel changes people. And then God, I pray that we would not think about that in third person, but God, I pray that we would think about that personally. How does the power of the gospel change me? And has the power of the gospel changed me? And if the power of the gospel has not changed me this morning, God, I pray that we would do business with you, that we would put our faith and our trust in you. This morning, we just pause even as we sing and as we pray, Father, to allow you to work, Holy Spirit, to work in our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together? Christians praying. The reason we stand is just give you an opportunity to move. That maybe some of you need to use this altar as a place of prayer. Maybe some of you need to come and join this church. But even most importantly, does the power of the gospel need to be revealed in your life? Does the power of the gospel need to change your life? And God wants to change you through the power of the gospel. And so if you need this morning to make that public, we would love to share with you how to do that. However the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, I'm asking you to respond. Respond, because this is the place where we respond to the gospel. However Holy Spirit is leading, you come.